Welcome to Stock Talk, the new Stockhouse podcast series that brings you behind-the-scenes insights into trending topics from capital markets, influencers, and entrepreneurs, broadcasting from the heart of the financial district in beautiful downtown Vancouver. Welcome to Stock Talk. I'm Cindy Broad, reporting for Stockhouse Media, and our coverage continues from the floor of Extraordinary Future 2019 in Vancouver. I am pleased to be joined by Will Stewart. Will is the Senior Vice President of Public and Corporate Affairs for Harvest One. Harvest One trades under the symbol HVT on the Toronto Venture Exchange. Welcome, Will. Thanks so much for joining me
today.
Thanks
for having me. It's great to be here.
Excellent. So basically, I kind of wanted to get your insights and thoughts on the landscape of the cannabis industry these days. I think people have a lot of questions. It's been a bumpy ride over the last little while. So just sort of give me your perspective on that and what you see happening.
For sure. I mean, in many ways, we are very early days in cannabis, right? Of course, we had a medical regime in Canada long before many other countries did, and then became really the first country in the world, certainly the first G8 or G20 country to legalize on a national scale. That was just less than a year ago. True. Still, even though it feels like when you're in this industry,
people need to keep that in mind, right?
So in many ways, we're kind of finishing building the plane as we're flying it. And as we're going through this process, of course, in a few short weeks, we enter what's really dubbed Cannabis 2.0 here in Canada, which will see us start to move towards a lot of the products that you see in other parts of the world. Ingestibles, infused products, edibles, extracts, concentrates, vape pens, those type of things haven't been legal in Canada yet. And we're coming up on that instance in the middle of October, basically 1 year after legalization, as we're starting to go through that process now to bring those products to market.
Excellent. So can you speak to the Canadian government, what their sort of play is as far as cannabis goes? There's elections coming up. Things are happening.
Yes, so absolutely.
Give us your perspective.
Yeah, so great question. I mean, I spent the majority of my career so far, 20 years in and around politics in this country, first as a political staffer, as a senior advisor to some cabinet ministers, but then also as a consultant in politics for the last number of years. And, you know, anytime you have a highly regulated industry like cannabis, you know that if you're in the cannabis business, you're really in the government relations business as well,
right,
when they're your regulator like this. And in Canada, it's slightly different than the United States. You have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have peace, order, and good government. So regulations and laws are baked right into our DNA,
absolutely,
our DNA here. So, of course, we now have a legal recreational regime here in Canada because of the last federal election we had when the Liberals came to power, promising to allow recreational consumption of cannabis. So we've hit that milestone. When 4 years later, we're now in another federal election, right in the middle of it now. And frankly, it's pretty bumpy, mm-hmm, and elections do matter. Campaigns do matter. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a difficult ride so far for the governing Liberal Party that brought us legalization. So it's really coming down to one of two parties, it'd be the Liberals or the Conservatives, which have traditionally shared power here since the inception of the country. And the Liberals are far more pro-cannabis than the Conservatives are. Although in this election, the Conservatives have said they're not going to put the toothpaste back in the tube. For everything that's happened already, they think that it's operating well, it's moving forward. But they haven't said anything about going forward. And that I mentioned earlier in our discussion, a mere number of days between the federal election and these new regulations coming into play,
right,
which also includes vape pens. And I don't have to go into too much detail for your listeners, but vape pens have been the topic of a lot of controversial discussion recently, a lot of unfortunate negative health outcomes in the U.S., some fatalities as well.
Yeah.
So we are at a very risky time right now for cannabis in this politically charged environment, which Canadians do love. When it comes to regulations and policies.
Very true. Yeah, there's definitely a lot going on, a lot of questions surrounding what's been happening. Just based on sort of what you've talked about so far, let's talk about the states. What does that look like as far as what's going on in cannabis? And, you know, for Harvest One as a company, what are your views on how easy it is to do business or what's happening down there?
Well, we've stayed out of the U.S. so far in some ways, but we're deep into the U.S. in other ways, and I'll explain why that is. So Harvest One's unique in the cannabis space. We have cannabis products, of course. We grow and we sell cannabis. But one of the other things we have is we have a traditional CPG part of our company, consumer packaged goods part. So we have a product called Dream Water. That Dream Water is already in 30,000 stores across North America, many in the U.S., including Kroger and Walmart, most type of places. But as a Canadian cannabis company, with the Farm Bill in the United States, with CBD from hemp, it actually makes the U.S. more attractive to us than Canada when it comes to these consumer packaged goods with cannabis in them, which is obviously why we have Dream Water and Deliver, two brands that we have purchased for the purposes of infusion. So from when we're trying to figure out where we're going to allocate capital, having CBD from hemp in the United States, should the FDA allow it once they get to a point where they've made some rulings on ingestibles, that market is far bigger. Our distribution is far wider, and we already do contract manufacturing of these products in Texas, in the United States as well. Right. So we're already on the right side of the border for an infused product going forward there.
So Sativarm is sort of your global or your European arm of the company. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about that and how that what that company looks like?
Yeah, so Sativarm is more of our clinical products, and they currently sell a pill in the UK and the EU that is microgelatin beads inside a gastro-resistant capsule.
Right.
Why is that important? It means it passes through your stomach before it breaks down. Then those little beads with CBD in it break down in your intestine, so you get quicker onset, higher bioavailability, and a longer effect. That's been a great product for us. Mm-hmm. So it's in 2,000 stores in the UK, online across Europe, and in Australia by prescription. We see that as really a key differentiator for us at Harvest One. We own the worldwide rights to put any cannabinoids in those little microgelatin beads. So that means once we get production set up in the United States and in Canada, we'll be able to offer that different product to people that nobody else has. And we're already seeing great results out of the UK and the EU. We've done clinical trials on it, phase one and phase two out of Israel on pediatric epilepsy, and the performance rates are quite high, and we're very encouraged by it.
Hmm. Are you targeting any sort of market specifically with that? Like obviously global, but you just mentioned epilepsy. And what are some other uses for that?
Well, I mean, CBD in general has been linked to things like anti-anxiety, anti-inflammation, general sense of calm. Even, you know, I know a lot of athletes are starting to use it or consume it after exercise or long runs. In fact, we had a relationship with an ultra marathoner who was taking it as he ran and biked across the United States. So it's a great product for us. But globally, we see ourselves as a health, wellness, and self-care company. So that's really the space that we want to be in. So even though we've done the clinical trials on pediatric epilepsy, I don't think we're going to push that too much farther at this point because it's given us what we want. We can claim the bioavailability. We know that it works. We know that it gets into people's system. So that's really the space that we want to be in. So depends on where you are on how you can talk about this product. So in the UK and EU, we are classified as a food novelty. So we can't talk about medical benefits. And in Canada, of course, we'd love to talk about medical benefits, but we can't get the actual product here until we make it here.
Right.
So it's this constant dealing with governments, dealing with borders that we have to deal with to get these products in a worldwide basis.
For sure. So accessibility to consumer is definitely an issue. Do you see that being resolved moving forward with regulation and in the election? How's that going to work?
I think certainly in the long term, we're going to have a global regime. It'll get there in our lifetime. I'm sure of it. But right now, so many countries are so consumed with promoting their own internal markets on this new industry, for sure. So we will get there. It's just a matter of time and energy and everything else that goes into this crazy world
now. Yeah. Do you have any insight into, like we were talking about cannabis 2.0, what's the next thing going to be? We've talked beverages, we've talked edibles, we've talked all these things. From your perspective, I mean, you've been in the industry for a while. What do you see that's going to be kind of neat and unique on the horizon?
So I see two things. One, I think from a Canadian point of view, Canadian government, Canadian regulators really need to come to grips with not letting Canadian companies lose their first mover advantage.
Okay.
And part of that to me is, and the instance of that with the United States allowing CBD from hemp, as well as marketing and potentially on the shelves of major retailers.
Yeah.
That really handcuffs us in Canada.
Totally.
Right? Because even if I've got these health and wellness products, I can only sell them through licensed distributors of cannabis. So it's a different, in my mind, it's a different market for raw flower than it is for a cannabis-infused topical pain relief cream.
Yes.
So we need to figure that out. So a worldwide change in CBD, I think, is going to come first and get some consistency around the world on that. And I hope that Canada doesn't get left behind on that. Canada is going through a process right now of a consultation on a new class of health products called cannabis health products. We already have a natural health product regime, and the cannabis health products is a way, or when the regime comes out, is a way for cannabis companies to be able to talk about medical attributes of their product.
Gotcha.
We love that at Harvest One, because our products are already certified by Health Canada and already certified by the FDA without cannabis in them.
Yeah.
So we already have our natural health products numbers. So once we add cannabis to it, if there's a cannabis health products regime, we can start to make claims on the totality of that product, which we think is going to outperform the basic form without the infused cannabinoids in it.
Right. Excellent. You actually mentioned, as we were talking just before we went live here, that the Cannabis Act gets revisited every 5 years,
yeah.
looked at every 5 years. Mm-hmm. Do you see any major changes coming up? We're kind of due.
Yeah.
When's that happening?
Exactly. Well, and I think, it's a couple of years out yet. But it will also depend on who wins this election
yeah,
in terms of
true.
If there's major changes or not in either direction.
Yeah.
But I hope that once we get the politics over with this federal election, whichever party we end up with as the governing party, I'm hoping that they will see this is the way the world's going. Canada has a first mover advantage that we should support. And in many cases in Canada, these facilities that grow the raw ingredients, grow the plants, frankly, are in economically depressed areas.
Yes.
They mainly have taken over old manufacturing facilities in Ontario. They're primarily in rural and remote communities for obvious reasons.
Yep.
But that brings economic development outside of the traditional city cores. So this is actually a great industry to provide economic benefits to people regardless of where they live and
right.
who they work for.
Yep.
Because it's injecting more economy and more money into these smaller economies. And I think that's a great thing for Canada. And frankly, we're leading the world in many ways. We might be slipping in some other ways, but we're getting there. And we really want to make sure that the policy makers and policy influencers understand the benefits of cannabis to the global, the Canadian economy, and then the global economy.
Absolutely. Finally, is there any sort of notes that you'd like to leave for investors to check out Harvest One? Obviously,
yeah.
you guys are a very exciting company, and you're global, which
yes.
is fantastic. So, just basically, if you want to let our investor audience know maybe about the current valuation of your stock or sort of things, a couple of milestones,
yeah,
we can check back in with you on.
I'll say something that you don't hear very often in the cannabis world, which is many people refer to us as the most undervalued cannabis stock.
Oh,
so that's a great, first of all, I'd share that with your listeners. Look, we are very, we have a low share price. We're down around 50 cents. I think we're about $110 million market capitalization.
Yep.
We have our financials coming out, year-end financials coming out in October.
Oh, great.
And I think what you're going to see is steady progress from the past year, from what we've been up to, more distribution of our CPG products. We're in 4 provinces with our raw cannabis. We've started all those sales in Europe with Sativarm. And then I think what you will see from us going forward is all these cannabis 2.0 products starting to come to market.
Right.
So that instantly doubles our SKUs of Dream Water. It doubles our SKUs of Live Relief. So all of these things working together will make Harvest One quite a sought-after place to be.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking the time
thank
out of
you.
Your busy day. It's busy around here today. I was joined by Will Stewart. And Will is the Senior Vice President of Public Relations for Harvest One. And Harvest One trades under the Toronto Stock Exchange on the Venture under the symbol SVP. Thanks again, Will, so much for taking the time to join us and sharing some insights on the cannabis market with our Stockhouse listeners. I really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you.
I'm Cindy Broad for Stockhouse Media and the Stock Talk Tech and Cannabis Sector podcast from the floor of Extraordinary Futures 2019. Thanks so much for listening. Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Stockhouse for the latest updates on all your favorite public companies in North America. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our active investor community, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, don't forget to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Deal Room on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities only available on stockhouse.com.